south of Baton Rouge, along the 8 Meat River, near the old Phillips farm. There's no brick and mortar, just a boiling cauldron of human disorder. Tammy's Cafe, serving up grits with a side of murder. Slings and bloodshed, cartage and murder. Homicidal leanings, the meaning's all word. So lean back and listen as the stories unfold. Special today is grits with a side of murder. Talking serial killers or a jealous rage. The centuries of evil, it's on every page. She lay it all out, so keep your wits. It's only grits with a side of murder.
Welcome, y'all.
Hey, y'all. This is Grits with a Side of Murder, part two with Tasha and Dee. And we are not going to record it right after the last one, so we're not as drunk. I mean, I'm as drunk probably, but y'all had to drive all the way over here.
Oh, I am so not as drunk as I was last time.
I am nowhere near as drunk as I was last
time. So what are you drinking, Tasha?
I have Cajun Fire Big Chief Cream Stout, and this stuff is awesome.
That sounds like something my husband might like to try, but I'm not going to try that because it has the word stout in it. I'm not going to eat my beer for dinner.
I like my beer to be part of a meal. I actually don't drink any light beers. I only drink stouts and white stouts and porters.
I'm not going to say anything terrible about that because I know there's a lot of people out there that like that. And Dee, I see you're drinking Coke.
I'm drinking Coke.
Live and learn, baby. Live and learn.
I have now learned that if I am at Tammy's house, that I must pour my own drinks.
Look, y'all can blame the last episode on me. I got big shoulders, baby. All right.
I think it was all of us. I think at some point, nobody was paying attention to how much they were pouring.
Yeah.
So, Tasha, this is a carryover.
Yep.
Can you give us a small recap?
Absolutely. Remember, we're talking about Lisa and Joel Guy and the horrors that were found in our house after Lisa failed to show up for work on a Monday morning.
Right.
And we had discussed the injuries that were inflicted on Lisa and Joel. I'm going to quickly recap those injuries because I think that's about where we left off.
And we were in Tennessee during this story.
Yes. The story happened in Tennessee. Remember, Lisa
Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Okay.
This is the Saturday after Thanksgiving that they were murdered, and they were found on the Monday after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
All right. So Joel Sr. had been stabbed more than 40 times, damaging his lungs, liver, kidney. He had stab marks on his ribs so bad that some of his ribs were severed completely. His legs had been removed at the hips. His arms had been removed at the shoulder, and his head and hands had been removed.
Bowflex.
Yep. Remember those hands that were on the Bowflex?
Yeah.
Oh, my gracious.
Lisa had been stabbed 31 times. 9 ribs were completely severed. She had punctures to her heart, both lungs, and her aorta, and had her legs severed at the knees and her arms severed at the shoulders. Her hands were intact, but her head wasn't.
Okay.
And the biggie about her head, the coroner later said that her head was not cut off. Mm. It was more
what was
ripped
it?
from her body.
Holy sh!
And her neck and shoulder showed massive blunt force trauma, as if someone essentially beat her head off her body.
I'm picturing that, like the Iron Man competition where the dude rips the phone book. Like, I feel like it would take at least that to...
Yeah.
Shit.
Repetitive beating of the head with a knock blunt the head object. Off. Oh my gosh. I mean, your neck is only so strong, you know.
Now, all the parts, with the exception of Joel's hands, which we discussed, were found on the Bowflex, and Lisa's head were found in the blue totes, swimming in an extremely caustic liquid. It was a mixture muriatic of drain acid. Cleaner, muriatic acid, and most of their body had actually been dissolved at this point, had no skin on it, except for their backs, their torsos, which some things I read said it didn't dissolve because it was floating above the acid.
Okay.
Some things I read said it didn't dissolve because it had been pushed down and was making more contact with the tote so the acid couldn't get around it.
Okay.
I didn't get a clear picture on that one. I'm kind of glad I did.
But the back skin is intact.
The back skin's intact. And the coroner later said that all of the stab wounds, the numbers were an about, and I'm doing air quotes, were an about because so much of the body had already dissolved in the...
He couldn't get an exact.
Yeah. Diabolical soup that they were swimming in.
Right.
As he, as
I'm
the
naming this episode Diabolical Soup, part one, part two.
I think that, yes.
That is fitting.
Actually... We haven't yet gotten to another catchphrase.
Potential name, okay.
Yes, another catchphrase that the prosecutor came up with that when I read it, I literally spit water across the table going, oh my God, he didn't. So Lisa's head, remember, was not in that tote.
Gumbo and, pot.
Yeah. Remember when we talked about the body cam footage, they passed a simmering pot on the stove. I want to know who opened the pot. It was not on the body cam footage I saw, but I want to know who got the privilege of opening the pot.
You know they're not going to put that on the internet, girl.
Unless
you know how to get to the dark web.
They put the totes on the internet, but they blurred out content.
Right,
so they could have like lifted the pot. And I mean, we hear the, oh, shit, are those hands?
Right.
And holy crap, what the fuck's in that tote? So they put a lot out there, but I want to know who opened the pot.
I'm guessing after they found what was in the tote, they were not going to look in the pot. And they'd be like, we'll leave that for the coroner.
So they did the whole one, two, three, rock, paper, scissors thing.
Rochambeau.
Yeah. We ain't looking at any more corners in this fucking house after that. So.
Somebody opened the pot.
I put, yep. Dear old mom turned into gumbo.
Man.
Yeah.
And it ain't even a zombie apocalypse.
I need a drink on that one.
Oof.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too.
Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, a.k.a. the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fales, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit bitch and be fierce on a huge-ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy.
And cunty.
With us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watch.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on the big... Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On the big cunty couch.
Mwah. Oh, chow.
I mean, how bad do you have to hate somebody to beat their head off of their head and then stick it in a pot? I mean, like, that's some fierce hate.
It's almost like the killer was experimenting with different ways of removing...
The skin
and meat from the bodies.
Ugh.
That's a sicko motherfucker.
That's for
sure. Oh, he's a sick motherfucker.
All right, tell me more.
So the detectives continued to search, and in one of the bedrooms, they came across a backpack. In it, they found Scantron sheets, pens, pencils, and notebooks. Seems pretty normal, right?
Mm-hmm. College.
College kid. They found a laptop until they started reading the contents of the notebook.
Oh, yeah, I remember this about this story, too.
And one of the first things they came across was essentially a killing supply list. Like, I'm all for lists, but this is one you don't put in writing.
If you do, you go burn it afterwards.
I mean, Dee, we both love a good spreadsheet.
Oh, bitches, I'm an accountant. You know I love a spreadsheet. But I'm going to say, this is not the first story on Grits with a Side of Murder where the killer made a to-do list and got caught from that fucker afterwards. Right.
So some of the stuff that was written in a notebook was, get killing knives. Quiet. Multiple. Get carving knives to make small pieces.
Oh. We're not just making a list, but we're describing what the items are for.
Yeah.
To, like, extra special is definitely...
No, he's trying to make a charcuterie board right there.
Charcuterie board.
And it just keeps getting worse. Get sledgehammer, crush bone. Bring blender and food grinder. Grind meat.
Brah. I think if you're that level that you're going to kill somebody and do all this shit, you don't need a fucking to-do list. Like, are you that absent-minded? Oh, fuck, I forgot my meat grinder. The shit.
Yeah. And so apparently also, so they found drain cleaner, bleach, all this stuff all over the house. And some of that we'll discuss later on. But his original plan, because he even wrote at one point, do not use garbage disposal to grind meat. Oh, use meat grinder.
Yeah, he seen some.
He wanted to be able to flush the bits down the toilet. And he had some drain cleaner just in case the bits were a little chunky.
He been watching ID Channel.
He was going to make a whole weekend of it then, apparently.
Oh, yeah, apparently.
Well, I mean, Thanksgiving was Thursday, so he started probably after they went to sleep that night, if I had to guess, but go ahead. I don't know.
So, the thing that shocked the investigators the most...
You haven't gotten to the most shocking part yet?
Right.
Was the owner of the notebook, which I'm sure is not going to shock y'all. It's Michael Guy.
Yeah.
Joel and Lisa's son.
Lisa's stepson, right?
No, that was their biological. That was theirs together.
That's even worse.
Yeah.
So the prosecutors gave this notebook a really fun and cute little name.
Ooh, what?
The Book of Premeditation.
Oh, yeah.
I heard somebody call it, whatever podcast that I heard it on, they called it the Murder Notebook.
They actually, in the trial, they call it the Book of Premeditation.
I would call it the Book of Stupidity if it were me.
The Hey, You a Dumbass book.
Exactly.
I shouldn't have wrote that down book.
Forgot to burn it book.
So, after finding this book and knowing that Michael had been the last person to see his parents alive, the FBI, Knox County Sheriff's Office, and East Baton Rouge Sheriff. I have not been drinking enough to stumble over East Baton Rouge Sheriff's Office.
So we've got Knoxville, Tennessee people, and we've got EBR people, and they're all investigating this shit.
They're all
because Michael went to LSU. Yeah,
and after the murders, he went home.
Okay,
to LSU on Sunday.
Oh damn it, boy!
But you forgot your book bag. I guess he forgot to write
that in
with
his laptop. He was a little shaken up on the play after all that. Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
As they say in football, he was shaken up on the play. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So they placed him under surveillance for a few days while they continue to investigate. So let's delve a little deeper into who Michael Joel Guy Jr. was. He was a gifted student. He was noted to be a quiet loner and spent most of his time in his room. When Michael was in his mid-teens, he attended Hahnville High School, literally right on the other side of the Mississippi River from me, like 3 miles if I could swim the river, and I ain't swimming that river.
Mm-mm. To my alligator.
To my alligator. I like to eat them. I don't want to be eaten by them.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Guy family relocated from Luling, Louisiana to Tennessee, he apparently didn't want to go. So, he came up with a plan that would allow him to stay in Louisiana while his family moved. He asked to go to the Louisiana School of Math, Science, and the Arts. This is a prestigious boarding school in Natchitoches.
I didn't even know we had boarding schools in Louisiana.
A few.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Okay.
They ain't as good as the one I went to.
Okay. No. I may have done some recent research into that.
Oh. Wait, are we talking military schools? Because I can help you out with that. I've got some of those in my back pocket.
It was just, you know, finding out all the options for a certain person.
Yes, they're expensive as fuck.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Summer camp, $5,000. Yeah.
Trust me. The summer camp my kids go to at the boarding school that I attended, I almost have to take out a second mortgage to cover a week for each other. I'm glad they're finally at the, like, junior counselor age group.
Yeah.
That doesn't cost nearly as much because they put their asses to work.
Yep.
So, after graduating boarding school, he attended George Washington University, but after only one semester, he transferred to LSU, where he reportedly planned to get a medical degree in plastic surgery. He had a charmed life. He had never had a job.
Wow.
He had never made his own money. His parents paid for his food, education, housing, car, gas, gave him an allowance at 27 years old.
Wow.
He had been in college at this point for 9 years.
Oh, he was one of them professional
students. You know what I'm going to say right here? Tough love, baby. They needed some tough love about 15 years old.
Well, he was about to meet some tough love.
Okay.
And that's kind of what spawned this whole thing.
Oh, one time you tell me you're not going to give me allowance this week, I'm going to kill you and chop you up in pieces.
Oh, this wasn't just you're not getting an allowance. Joel Sr. had already retired, and Lisa, remember, had recently decided it was time for her to retire.
Right.
So they're like, boo, you need to get your foot
your
you got to
get a job and take care of yourself, you little mooching bastard.
You're 27 years old. It's about time for you to go try and do that work thing.
Yeah. So they had also bought this new house. They were selling the house that they had raised their kids
in. Yeah, they're downsizing. They're like, they're ready to cut the ties. So they decide at 27 it's time for tough love. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I started tough love, I think, as soon as they could crawl.
Look, I'm right.
Look, I'm like, oh, you want that? Well, I said no. Oh, you're going to cry? Okay, go cry in the other room. I don't want to hear it.
I mean, I'm not defending Michael, but if you raise somebody up to 27 and you haven't given them any tough love by that point, they're going to be like, what the fuck? They really are. I know there's a gnat flying the fuck around in here and I keep swatting it.
So,
edit that out.
Joel Sr. and Lisa had told their daughters sometime in October about the plans they were making and that they were going to talk to Michael over the Christmas holidays about the change in finances, that they would not be able to support him any longer, and he would have to get a job. It's not clear when they did tell him, but statements made in a trial, it appears that the plans changed, and Joel and Lisa told him early.
Question. Who did Lisa and Joel tell they were going to tell him?
The daughters.
Michelle and Angel?
Angela,
I wrote it down. Chatrice.
I would have to go all the way back to the top, so and then I lose my...
So I have these three names written down. Chatrice, which is probably wrong.
Yeah, Chandrice.
Chandrice, Angela, and Michelle were twins. So yeah. I'm going to tell you something right now. It may not be clear how old Michael found out, but one of his sisters told him because... They lied in court. They lied in court.
As you get into it, his sisters weren't even allowed to know where he lived. He didn't want his parents to tell anybody where he lived. They didn't even have his cell phone number.
Okay.
They really only saw him when he was at the family home for holidays. He didn't interact.
That Thanksgiving night when he got there, one of them pulled him inside and said, guess what, bitch? Because that's how siblings be. They're going to be like, I'm about to burst your bubble. Mama and daddy ain't supporting
you. And I mean, these are three grown women with jobs and children, right. And they're supporting themselves.
And they're probably a little pissy with the brother getting supported, the actual one biological child.
But it also appears that in a lot of ways, the house sold faster than Lisa and Joel Sr. had planned, and that maybe sped up their plan. They were going to talk to him over Christmas, kind of give him, okay, you've got 2 months to find a job, you've got this. And they weren't just going to, you know, cold turkey cut him off. But I think when the house sold earlier, Lisa moved up her retirement date a little faster.
And they're like, okay, here it is.
It really kind of sped the process. So maybe they did have to tell him over the phone where they didn't really want to because they wanted to give him 2 months to get his feet under him.
It was the topic of the Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, you know, not only was he the baby, but he had 3 older sisters. And I know from having 1 girl child that the girl child, who is the oldest in my family, takes care of them little boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But also gets irritated with them, too. So, I mean, we can all agree it was time for him to step up, and no matter what way he found out. But I'm going to say this. If he didn't find out from his mom and dad, and he found out from one of the sisters, I feel like that would make him even more bitter and resentful.
Right.
I mean, absolutely. I think that would definitely bring out some anger issues.
Yeah.
He sounds like he may have had some underlying anger issues.
Yeah,
anyway.
No shit.
I mean, he had that I want to do life my way kind of attitude.
Well, no, he had that I want everything fucking handed to me attitude.
Yeah.
Which is why I can't hire people right now.
Mm-hmm.
COVID.
That I am so sick of that excuse. I hope the next person that...
Let's go, Brandon.
The next person that tells me I should be wearing a mask when they walk in my store, I really want to shove one down their throat. Because I am so glad we don't have to wear them right now. But I'm sure it'll come back. It's like all fashions, they come back around.
All right.
So Michael was seen on surveillance cameras purchasing supplies that would later be found in the home. He used cash in the self-checkout most of the time. On November 7th, he went to Ace Hardware in Napoleonville, and that's in Louisiana for those that don't know.
So they found all the shit he used and all the shit on his little grocery list. They could trace it back to
him purchasing it.
Receipts and videos of him actually buying it.
Yeah. He went to Ace Hardware to buy muriatic acid and food grade hydrogen peroxide. He went to Home Depot and bought bleach and extension cords and a timer.
Mm.
He went to Academy and
got a
purchased
a blue tarp,
a Marine K-bar knife.
Mm.
And this will come up later, but on the 21st, he went to a Knoxville Walmart and purchased one thing. And then the day of the murder, he's actually seen at the same Walmart purchasing bandaging supplies.
Oh, he hurt himself in the process.
He got poo-poo.
And I mean, that
and mommy couldn't kiss it.
Hey, that acid ain't...
Because her head was boiling away.
That acid ain't nothing to play with.
Oh, my God.
All right,
So by Tuesday 29th, so we're thinking, like, this murder happened on Thursday. Tuesday, they had enough shit to put him away.
Nice.
He was taken into custody in the parking lot of his apartment in Baton Rouge. And when they searched his vehicle, which was a 2006 Hyundai Sonata, I mean, not exactly a fancy car, but,
no, but his
not
parents,
a horrible one.
But his parents bought it for him.
Yeah. When they opened his trunk, they found a KitchenAid meat grinder.
Oh.
And the full KitchenAid. I kind of went, I have one of those. I'm not using it for what he uses it for. So when they searched his apartment, they found receipts for a lot of the products he had purchased. But a judge later ruled that all of this was inadmissible.
They didn't have a search warrant.
They didn't have a search warrant.
Bitches.
Come on, Baton Rouge.
So I'm just going to
fuck.
I'm going to go off on a little tangent right now because I know both of you are Woody Overton fans, real life, real crime. He is not going to make a messy mistake like this. He is going to make sure he has his search warrant before he goes in.
Absolutely.
And gets the juice, as he calls it.
Yep. I mean, because any cop knows if you find anything.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be thrown out if you don't have a warrant.
And this is at least 2016 or 2017, because I think the story started in 2016. So,
well,
holy
this is,
shit.
This you is can't, Thanksgiving 2016.
Yeah, we're not talking about 1957, where you didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, Michael, I have, so y'all got to
Michael Jr.
In a couple of these spots, like I had originally written it with Joel Sr., Joel Jr., and it got too confusing in my head, so I went back and changed it to Michael.
Yeah.
Because that's what his family called him.
So was he like, I don't know what you're arresting me for.
No, they said he was just kind of quiet. And this guy, if you've never seen a picture of him, I will describe him for you. He's got ratty looking blonde scraggly hair, pudgy bulgy cheeks, and his eyes literally bug out like a demented baboon.
Will you please put that picture on social media?
I actually have books. I have pictures of the book of premeditation. Okay, I have pictures of him during his trial. Awesome. And I have some video clips that I will put up when this episode posts. So Joel pled not guilty, but right before the trial starts, he wrote a letter to the judge asking to act as his own attorney in one thing. He wanted, if he's pleading not guilty, but if I'm found guilty, kill me.
Oh.
I want the death penalty if you're going to find me guilty.
Honestly, if during this process you have any of the judge's names, please let me know, because this is the time where I worked at the Court of Appeal and I probably know the judges personally.
Going to come across it because I have quotes from the judge further down.
Okay.
Wouldn't it have been in Tennessee, though?
Yeah, this was all in Tennessee.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said they caught him at LSU.
They did.
Okay.
They had to bring him to Tennessee.
All right.
Because that's...
Never mind. I don't need the judge's names.
His defense counsel, John Halstead and Jonathan Harwell, presented no evidence on his behalf.
Bless their heart.
They were
they were like, you're fucking guilty. We're not even going to try.
Well, no. I mean, if you're a court-appointed attorney, you really do need to at least try because you get a free shot. I mean, the person's probably going to wind up with a death penalty anyway, so you might can get them life in prison.
Or at least practice for when you can.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that. But, you know... I mean, honestly,
tell him, make a plea.
Aren't you just like making sure his rights aren't violated while he's in trial? Like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, they barely gave an opening argument.
Wow.
They literally put on no evidence and no witnesses. And anytime they cross-examined a witness,
it was like one or two
questions. It was like, can you clarify when you said this?
Okay.
I feel like they're court appointed, especially since his parents are dead. And if they were alive, they would buy him an attorney. You know what I'm saying? Not buy. You know what I mean?
They would have hired the attorney. But also, since he was a loner and he didn't talk much, all of that may have been his wishes.
His lawyers, he wouldn't tell him anything.
Right.
Yeah.
He probably asked his lawyers not to do anything, and they can't do anything.
But then just plead guilty and away
have
the
it over
whole.
With.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So they did, however, point out one thing, that during the weekend of Thanksgiving, Michael was happy and outgoing. And
that was weird
happy,
for him.
Outgoing people don't kill people.
Oh, that's why he was engaging with his family, because obviously if I'm engaging, then I'm happy and I can't kill anybody.
And I think that was kind of his plan with purposefully being happy and outgoing.
He was giddy and happy because he knew he was going to kill them.
Yeah, I think it's because he had his plan. He had his plan in place and he was ready.
All right, bitch. So did they just fucking say hammer down, convict?
No. So they...
Sorry, I didn't
threw
mean
me
to.
Off.
I'm so sorry.
So the prosecutor's job was pretty easy since Michael was not stealthy about his crimes.
Yeah.
He was about as stealthy as a sledgehammer.
I'm going to leave a note. Book.
He wrote all about how he was going to cover it up in his notebook.
Oh, okay.
This bitch.
Things like bleach reacts like blood under luminol. Turn up AC to 90 degrees to dissolve fingerprints and dry everything. I actually Googled this one because I'm like,
you didn't
okay,
believe it. I wouldn't
fingerprints
believe it either.
Are mainly made of oil.
Right.
And I found several cases where a car in Louisiana was left in the heat. And we know how hot a fucking car can get in August.
About 120.
And they were able to pull fingerprints. So this is complete bullshit.
Right.
So he even laid out his motive. Listing off the family's assets and how he planned to inherit it.
Oh.
Her assets, life insurance, $500,000, possibly more with double indemnity. With him missing, dead, I get the whole thing. All her other assets are joint, go to him if missing. Unknown if he is dead. It goes on to outline the value of both houses. At one point, he contemplated killing the dog, decided not to kill the dog.
Oh.
Thank God he decided not to kill the dog.
Jesus Christ.
So he really did make it easy for them. And
for real,
he thought about trying to frame his dad. And they think that's part of the reason Lisa's head was in the pot.
Because
he, I'm just trying not to fucking say anything right now.
Okay,
say it. Because
the dad could have killed the mom, put the head in the pot, and then jumped in a vat of acid after he dismembered himself.
No, then Michael's like, I just went to the Circle K to get some cigarettes. And I came back and mom's head was in a pot.
Right.
So he goes as far as that. At one point he said, open doggy door. And then he goes, scratches it out. No, don't. He needs to be blamed, not an intruder. So I think what he was planning on doing was leave bits of mom and make dad totally disappear.
Fuck this dude.
Oh.
So it looked like dad killed her and then took off.
He probably got tired after cutting all them limbs off and was like, fuck that plan.
He was not an in-shape dude. And I don't think he understood what he was getting himself into here.
Obviously.
So I'm very much a list maker, but, you know, I'm thinking if I had to... I had to relate to him in this list making shit, I just might be tired after
after writing this list.
Well, not only that, but just like halfway through, like, fuck, I've used so much energy chopping up people. I'm so exhausted.
Yeah. But the plan goes further. He says, cut his arm off and plant his flesh under her fingernails. Place her hand with his DNA so that DNA is not washed away.
I can't deal with this dude.
Use sodium hydroxide to destroy his soft tissue and soften bones for transport. Based. He put fucking based like a God-blessed turkey. Fucking based. Every hour to accelerate decomposition.
Oh my gosh.
He is a sick fuck.
Yes.
Based. I'm picturing him. So when Kale was a baby, we had a giant sink. It wasn't a farm sink like you think about today.
Right.
This thing was like a bathtub in my kitchen.
It was a trough.
And I was bathing Kale. And I was bathing Kale as an infant. Told Brian to get me a cup to rinse Kale. I mean, he was probably like 2 weeks old.
Yeah.
Brian shows back up with a gravy ladle. And starts basting the baby.
Perfect.
So that's what I'm picturing is him in there. Glass of wine in one hand and basting
with the ladle from the turkey dinner on Thursday night.
Blessed Jesus.
These poor people.
And he talks about bringing the meat grinder to make small bits and make them easier to flush.
I thought you were going to say bringing the meat grinder to make s'mores. It sounded like you were going to say s'mores. Go in the open flame outside and make s'mores.
Roast the meat evenly for even
this fucker
heat distribution.
I can't even.
No. I mean, like I said, I just sat there when I read that. I went, fucking based? Oh my God.
I mean, he's fucking Julia Child at this point. Like, I'm going to write a cookbook. What the fuck?
So during the trial, the prosecutors outlined the timeline for the brutal killing to the jury. On Saturday, are you throwing things at Tammy? They're distracting.
I'm not even drinking, and I'm knocking stuff over. Whatever.
I am drinking.
Me too. So on Saturday, Lisa,
who's dead. Well, not yet. This is pre-dead.
Yeah. Sorry, had to take a sip. That was the problem. My mouth was dry.
Yeah.
But Lisa left to buy supplies at Walmart. She was seen on camera checking out at about 12:15 Saturday. While his wife was out, Joel Sr. decided it'd be a good time to work out. With his parents separated, and it's actually speculated that Lisa went to Walmart because Michael wanted ice cream. Because one of the things she purchased, they were so
fucking stop.
So when I looked through, you remember there were the three things in Michelob Ultra, but there was also a box of
a Bluebell melting
favorite ice cream sitting there melting.
Fuck Michael.
Yeah.
Junior.
So he decided this was the perfect time to put his plan into action. He killed his dad first, then attacked his mom when she came through the door. It really looks like, because of the way everything was laid out, that she came in the door. He was probably standing on that landing or at the top of the stairs. And, hey, mom, I need you up here. Dad, something happened to dad, or dad's hurt or something like that. Mm-hmm. So she drops all the groceries.
Yeah.
Panic runs up when she comes up the stairs.
I feel like he said, Dad was working out on the Bowflex and his hands got cut off. I need you up here now, stat.
Once he killed his mom, he cut her clothes off.
Fuck! And that's your mama. Don't leave her naked. That's not nice.
Left her clothes and the bloody scissors in a pile at the top of the stairs. Remember those clothes we were talking about when they came up the stairs? Yeah. That was her clothes.
Oh, wow.
After his parents were dead, he went into the hall bathroom, stripped from his clothes, bandaged his wounded hands. Apparently, he sliced his hands to fuck and back.
Well, I mean,
while he was murdering.
60 some odd times for one, 40 some odd times for the other, and that's only what they can confirm because probably they had to use what was on the bone because all the skin had...
Yeah, I'm going to steal one from Woody. I mean, this isn't a fast thing. This is...
Yeah.
I mean, it takes force. It takes energy. And you got to think, at least once it had to wedge in a bone. So then you're taking force to put it in and take it out. Right. So that sounded way dirtier than it was meant to.
Talking about murdering people, and there's your mind. Okay.
So then he turns around, he goes to Walmart.
I'm just saying, I would be way too fucking tired, like I said. Like, right. I would maybe stab you twice, and I'd just be like, whew, I'm winded.
See, and that's where being a paramedic comes in handy. I don't have to stab anybody. Yep. Bitches know. I could put you down, and they'd never know what happened.
Well, no, I don't stab anybody either. I'm just saying. I'm just fatting out of shape. So I'd just be like, okay, my plan's gone awry. I need to go just burn all my shit.
If I wanted to get rid of somebody, I'd take them on a swamp. I've already told
Don't tell us.
If Brian ever disappears.
Oh, no. Brian's already said he's more scared of me than anyone else. He's like, she could kill you and make it look like an accident, dude. Don't mess with her when our boys start irritating me.
That's right.
But so he goes, he bandages his hands and comes back, disarticulates his parents. He didn't dismember them. He disarticulated them.
Okay, which is so by the joint, I think.
Yeah.
So he went to take a shower, and is that when he went to the store to get the bandages?
Yeah. He cleaned himself up, then goes and buys bandages his boo-boos, comes back, and
blaze mama. This motherfucker right here.
I mean, and I'm wondering, was mom decapitated in the initial attack?
Right.
In an anger attack? Or was this... I want to cut her head off, but I don't want to put in that much effort, so maybe a baseball bat will do it better.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I guess only he knows what it really
is. Yeah, I have no comment on that.
He put the bodies in acid and put Lisa's head in the pot, and then he apparently decided to go eat something.
What?
He put his mom's head to boil and then made himself
mac and cheese.
Pot pie.
A pot pie.
I do like a pot pie. Matter.
No, I will never eat a pot pie again after this.
I like a pot pie.
I don't know if I could eat after, you know, disarticulating. Oh, well,
absolutely
my
no.
Parents.
And think about
no,
this.
No, but we're normal people. Right. We're normal humans.
So when
we're
they
not
came,
psychopaths or sociopaths.
When they came in the house on the body cam footage, there's the pot simmering away. There's a pot pie box next to it. So I'm wondering, did he sit at the kitchen table facing the pot while he ate his dinner?
Probably. Dude's fucking whacked.
I mean, I actually have on here, did he make the pot pie next to the pot of mommy soup?
Probably.
Just fucked up.
Well, obviously. I mean, I can't say obviously, but a lot of ranges have the oven right below it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't have that in my house, but a lot of them do. So it could have been that situation where he literally made it right next to it.
They did find the oven on.
Oh,
so maybe that was from him cooking his pot pie.
So,
all right.
So question.
But this was on Monday, and he did this on Saturday.
No,
this was on Saturday.
He did
this all happened on, he murdered them.
Found the pot boiling on Monday.
So that's where some murky stuff gets in.
Yeah.
They don't know exactly what time he left. Everything I listen to and everyone I listen to seems to lean towards he stayed the night in the house with the bodies.
Probably.
Oh, obviously. It took a really long time
to
get all that done.
Filled the pot back up before leaving sometime Sunday afternoon to make the drive back to Baton Rouge because it did say that there was limited water still in the pot.
But that is a pretty long drive, Tennessee to Baton Rouge.
9.5 hours.
Yeah.
I've made it a couple.
And they arrested him Monday morning?
No, they arrested him Tuesday morning. Okay. They found the bodies Monday morning, arrested him Tuesday morning.
Okay.
So the prosecutors also presented evidence that Michael didn't waste any time after the murders. He almost immediately started using his parents' bank accounts and credit cards to pay ahead on his bills.
He a baller, shakala.
Yeah, I mean, he prepaid his rent to the tune of $10,000.
Oh.
Prepaid his utilities.
Yep.
Paid his next semester at LSU.
Yep.
And
all in a day's work.
Yeah. He had a former roommate. Well, it must have been his current roommate that testified saying how he was detaching more and more from society, that they lived together, but he wouldn't see Michael for like a month. His sisters testified against him, obviously.
Yeah.
And Michael's roommate commented that he always thought it was really strange and really sad that Michael never had any visitors from his family. He never got gifts. He never got any of this stuff. Well, the sisters, the aunts, everybody testified that they would ask him for his address. They would ask him for his cell phone number. And he would say no. His parents actually did not know exactly what apartment he lived in. They just knew where to send the rent check.
Right.
Oh, wow.
So Michael's half-sister furthered this by testifying to some strange behavior during her visit at on Thanksgiving Day. Shortly before Thanksgiving, Michelle's dryer had broken. So she brought laundry home with her
to do while she was
at her parents' house. She was there from like 10 in the morning till 8 at night.
Of course. Yeah.
She's got three kids. We all know how the laundry can pile up.
Yeah. Oh, shit, yeah.
And as she's walking back and forth from her car carrying the copious amounts of laundry I'm sure she had at this point.
Yeah.
She noticed two large Rubbermaid totes in the backseat of Michael's car. So normally this wouldn't even have dawned on her, but she was like, why the fuck did he bring his luggage in that?
Right.
Doesn't he have better luggage than
totes?
Oh, I see. Mm. Okay.
She also said, you know, remember, Michael never interacted with her kids. All of a sudden, he's interacting. Well, Michael brings her kids upstairs to look through the toy boxes that he's got in his room. And so she's going up there to do laundry, but she's also going up there to check on her kids because, like,
well,
this is weird as fuck.
Right? Yeah.
So at one point,
he's way too fucking happy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, I'm wondering if she's going, did he get on some new happy pills? Like, what the hell is going on?
Like, what is she going to do with my children up here?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, what is he doing with my kids up
here? So, at one point, she's in the laundry room doing laundry, and she feels a presence behind her, and Michael is standing, like, right behind her, being freaky quiet, just staring at her. And she said she kind of just, Michael, what are you doing? He was like, nothing. And turned around and went the other way, but it really kind of caught her off guard.
Mm-hmm. He was looking over her shoulder at the washing machine, thinking, could I put them in there and wash their pieces and parts away? Okay, sorry, I went there. Sorry.
Either that or...
I mean, we've been talking about mommy soup, so that's nothing worse.
Should I include the sister in my plan? Because that's more money for me.
Yeah.
You're right.
Because that's one of the things I thought about was, he's made all these plans to get rid of his dad so he can inherit. I could see him inheriting 100% of Lisa's life insurance. He was her only biological child.
Right.
But any money from Joel and Joel's share of that life insurance would then be split between his daughters and subject to his will.
Right.
So through the very emotional testimony from family disturbing body cam footage shown in the courtroom, Michael really didn't, he looked bored.
I mean, I feel like the jury needed about a solid 8.5 minutes to convict this motherfucker.
Right. He was making faces, even smirking at the jury at one point.
Oh,
and
wow.
If you've not, like I said,
I'm doing my middle fingers up and I'm going, bleh.
I mean, so
the balls on this.
So
dude.
Gavin,
the cojones.
Gavin took one look at this guy.
He's like, he's a serial killer, Mom.
And he goes, Mom, he looks like a cross between Penguin from Batman and a bug-eyed, demented monkey. He's like, yeah, son, he kind of does look like both of those. So the trial took 4 days total. And at the end, Michael was found guilty on 2 counts of first-degree murder and 2 counts of abuse of a corpse.
Okay. Mm. Sensible.
During
the sensible result to that.
Yeah.
So during the sentencing phase, and y'all, I love watching the sentencing phase of trials because the family impact statements, but also a lot of times the murderer will make a statement. So when I'm researching these, if I can view that portion, even if I don't watch all the other testimony, I'll watch that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I want to buy this judge a beer. Like, I want to sit down with this guy. And
I thought you were going to say, I want to kill this guy with a bat and chop his head off with a bat.
No. So Judge Sword was the coolest fucking judge I think I've ever seen. Judge Sword. He was like, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you, dude.
Oh, fuck your cousins.
So he said several things during this that, like, I had to pause it and rewind it and go, did he just really say that?
I love that. I love sassy judges.
He says,
sassy Judge Judy. Okay, sorry.
One of the things he said was, I don't think his mind is going to change. Quite frankly, I think if it was 100 years, it wouldn't be sufficient.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I don't see potential for rehabilitation of Mr. Guy. I was watching him during trial. He showed absolutely no remorse or despair over seeing what he had done. Quite frankly, Mr. Guy, you look kind of proud of yourself and what you've accomplished.
Wow.
He's a good old Tennessee boy right there.
Oh, God. He was a shoot 'em straight.
That's right, boy.
I mean, I kept waiting to see him spit chew into a Coke cup next to him.
Don't make me know. Never mind to put you in jail for the rest of your life.
Right.
So, in the end, Joel was given 2 life sentences.
As he should.
That were to be served consecutively.
Okay.
Meaning that when one ended or he qualified for parole, the next one began.
And not concurrent.
No concurrent. And the abuse of a corpse was consecutive also.
How much did they give him for that, though?
Like 4 years.
Okay. Oh, goddamn. I mean, you mean I can just take a corpse, chop it up, and I'll be only in jail for 4 years?
Well, I mean, it depends on if you made them a corpse or if you found a corpse.
Just doesn't seem reasonable. I feel like if you found them a corpse, you should still be more than 4 years.
And
I didn't mean to go off on that. That was so minimal.
Unless the corpse is super fresh, I don't want to be poking it. My mom decided once she found a raccoon on the side of the road. And she had...
You don't poke. Nuh-uh. No.
For some weird reason, she had a steak knife in her car. And she decided she wanted to save the tail. She just wanted the tail. Oh. So she proceeds to get out of the car and try to cut the tail off. Well, at some point, she pokes it and it starts spewing viscous...
Oh,
everywhere.
My gosh.
And,
Sorry, my mic was acting retarded.
She was like, never again. I will never poke a dead thing. No. And that's what I think of when you talk about cutting up corpses. This is my mental image.
Yum.
But, yeah, that was the story of Michael Joel Guy Jr.
That was amazing.
The fucked up shit he decided to do. And, y'all, that book of premeditation, I will post all the images because I really only picked... So little. There are six or seven pages of like college ruled where he wrote lists and
so there's like actual court photographs of those pages.
Yeah, I have actual court photographs of those.
That's fucked up.
And at one point in the proceedings, Joel, when he's arrested, his hair is blonde and it looks like a really bad dye job.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, his hair was like almost as long as mine and straight and black.
Which is longer than her shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so mine goes
halfway down her back.
Brian calls her it mermaid hair because it actually covers my boobs.
I was
going
to say, her hair goes to her tummy.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It covers my boobs.
And he had hair that long and black, so then he was going for like the Ozzy Osbourne, Alice Cooper look or some shit like that.
And then by the time he goes to court, he's balding on top.
Jesus bless his heart.
Because it went to court in 2021. Okay. And through
that's
all the
court. That's 5 years, though? But still, that's...
But he's balding on top. It's clean cut looking.
So he's looking like Michael Bolton at that point. Yeah. He's got a huge mullet.
Ozzy Osbourne.
I mean, all of it was cut very neatly.
Oh, okay.
And what I'd call a respectable man's haircut.
In a bob.
At that point.
Mm. A short bob.
No, it was shaved in the back.
An angled bob.
He did not have a Karen. But he
That's
was wearing
my hairstyle.
He
Damn
was wearing
it,
one
guys.
Of those stupid.
That's mean.
He's a criminal. I can be mean to him if I want to. Wait, are we talking about Karen?
No, you're talking about the inverted bob, which is what I have.
Oh, the angled bob?
No. Yours is so curly.
I don't think you have an angled bob.
I do.
Okay, well, I'll have to talk about that after the podcast.
But,
then.
So he's all through the court proceedings.
It's adorbs. She's taking her hair down. It's adorbs. It doesn't look inverted to me. It just looks like a bob. Oh, I see now. Okay.
After moving floral around today, if I take mine down, this whole room will sparkle because I'm pretty sure I've got a pound of glitter in my hair right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not trying to top you on job shitty things, but I got a new shredder at work. You know, us accountants, we got to shred everything. I got a new shredder at work yesterday, and I went to empty it because someone brought me like a fuck ton of shit to shred, and I had to empty it like 5 times. First time I went to empty it, it does this teeny tiny confetti cut, like the smallest fucking thing. I dump it in, and it all blows back on me. All of it. It's in my hair. It's on my shirt. It's on my slacks. It's everywhere.
Oh, I am so picturing this in my head.
Oh,
it
happened.
I don't want to laugh, but...
And I wanted to run around the office and give people laughs, but I was like, I'm too busy. I got shit to do. But, like, at one point, I was taking the tape and trying to dab all the... rolling the tape reverse and trying to dab all the shit off me.
We all...
Lint roller.
Yes, the lint roller.
When I got my first pickup truck, Brian and I bought a little Nissan Frontier, and he thought it was, quote-unquote, our truck.
Uh-huh.
So he gets up for work the first day he's home after we buy the truck, and he's like, text me, where's the truck? I took my truck to work. He's like, no, that's my truck. You're supposed to take the old-ass SUV to work when you go to work. And I'm like, why can't I take my truck? He's like, you're going to get fucking glitter all over it. It's going to sparkle. He's like, trucks don't sparkle. So now I drive and these two can attest to this. Mm-hmm. My truck is bright blue. It is somewhere between Crayola and Smash Smurf.
Yes.
Yeah, and I told him, so after about 4 years of having the Nissan, he finally agreed it was mine. And at the point, it was fabulously sparkly from me working at a craft store. And he goes, I don't give a fuck how much glitter you get in that Dodge Ram. He's like, I'm not going to be seen in something the color of a Smurf. And I'm like, yeah, but you know what? When you go to Walmart, you can find it in the damn parking lot.
Right? Exactly.
But y'all, so the last thing I have to say about Joel was during the trial.
You mean Michael?
Yeah, Michael. Sorry.
Joel Jr.
During the trial, he was wearing one of those retarded face shields.
But he had COVID it like, shit?
Yeah, because it's in 2021,
okay.
So it's COVID. But he has it all the way back at like his hairline, which was seriously receding. So it just looked like a visor.
Oh, sticking it straight out.
And, you know, COVID, don't touch your face. And I
fuck
him. He's like literally like, you know, when a little kid wakes up and they've been drooling and they're like wiping the drool around their face. He's like doing that number during the court proceeding and like digging in his mouth. And all of a sudden I'm going,
picking his nose.
You are a nasty fucker.
That's just
I don't like him.
Crazy.
I can't wait till you post the pictures of him because I just feel like it's going to be so disgusting.
Oh, like I said, Batman meets a demented monkey.
So, Tasha, thank you so much for that story.
You
and
are
thank
welcome.
You, Dee and Tasha, for coming over here 2 times after work to record this podcast. I appreciate y'all so much.
I
got
to give a shout out to my partner in crime and my chief researcher.
Who?
Leah. One of our moos.
Moo.
In fact, she texted me earlier today. She's like, I'm bored. What's my next assignment, boss? And I was like, I haven't finished with the last one.
Okay, so we need to get Leah over here to the house to do a pod.
She's in Texas.
Oh, damn.
Yeah,
have StreamYard for my one. Well, I'm doing I have a podcast, but I also have another one I'm working on. And I have
You're going to do a second podcast?
Yes.
So let's talk about the first one just to get a plug out there.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Adulting and Parenting Over 40.
That's right.
You can find us on the Spotify, iTunes, all that.
I found you on Spotify today.
All right.
And then what's your second one
going to
be?
It's going to be, it's called Umbrella Rebellion, and it's about myself and my co-host being in a cult.
Were you in a cult for real?
I was.
Holy fuck. Can I be somewhere in that and put... Oh, God, I need you on the podcast talking about that. Jesus Christ.
How do I just comment to this?
Fucking, how did I just fucking find out about that? Okay, were you seriously in a cult? Like,
I
your
was.
Parents were in a cult and they birthed you into a cult?
Okay, so it's not like your typical, like, cult, like, you know, commune type cult that, you know.
So you were a Scientologist?
No, but it was close. It was close to Scientology.
So don't tell me anymore.
Okay.
Because I want my listeners to start emailing. We got to hear about D in the cult. We got to hear about D in the cult.
Yeah. So the podcast isn't out yet. We're working. Okay. We're working on the first couple of episodes because she's a single mom and I'm a busy working
and
mom.
And she was in the cult with you, or she's just like
we met in the cult.
Holy fucking Christ on this.
Yes. And so
are y'all gonna say curse words on that cult? Because on the parenting one, y'all are literally rated G.
I know. We
and
are.
That's fine, and that's not a diss. I'm just saying I can never be on the parenting
one.
Well,
she let loose with us.
Yes.
Oh fuck.
Yes. You can say fuck here, you can say everything.
D, we are in a little bit of a cult.
Yeah, we kind of, those are a bit of a cult.
And the crazy thing is most of my listeners don't understand what that is. Mm-hmm. So I am just going to say there is a group of ladies who listen to Woody Overton's podcast, Real Life, Real Crime, and they are in a group called The Moose.
Yeah.
We are at the breaking point. I'm glad we fit this into two episodes because I did not want to drag this into three for the listeners.
No.
And like I told you from the beginning, this one was a hard one. I don't know that even on our best, less squirrel trails and sidebars day that we could have fit this in
one. I agree. So guys, please tell your friends, tell your family, tell your mom and them about Great Suicide and Murder. Tell them to listen.
Go on iTunes. If you are an Apple user, give us 5 stars and leave a comment. I don't care if you say eat a bag of dicks.
That's
but
right.
Leave a comment. And anything less than 5 stars would be a crime.
It doesn't count if you don't leave a comment.
Exactly.
And don't forget to subscribe also.
Subscribe. We're on Spotify.
It takes all of us to remember the podcaster shit.
Okay. But most importantly, if you would like the Patreon benefits.
Ooh.
Stickers, I will mail to you personally with a note. And also special mini-sodes I will put out for y'all.
That are awesome, y'all. I've heard
them.
Did
you listen to the one I sent you? Okay. So that's that. And we love y'all. And we're going to let Zydeco Mike take us out.